Well, welcome, welcome, welcome back, all you happy people. And if you're online or you're watching in a small group or by DVD, welcome also. We're closing in on the conclusion of the practical prayer life. As you see, experiencing the delight again of a practical prayer life. And these are 12 steps, as we share at the beginning of each of these sessions, of cultivating. And you really do need to cultivate as you're cultivating the soil to plant something, plant a seed. But we're cultivating a daily delight in personal prayer, remembering again the words of Jesus, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" I know when we get to the very last of these lessons, I'm going to open my heart perhaps even more in a sense of what the Lord has shown me over the years in the accumulative power of doing something day by day by day, and what ends up happening over the years. Because remember, just to kind of whet your appetite for a moment, the Bible talks about bowls in heaven that have the prayers of the saints. Can you imagine that your prayers prayed 10 or 20 years ago, if you knew the Lord then and you were praying then regularly, those prayers are still active. Those prayers are still there. We come to the last of the steps, even though we'll have a final lesson, which is very, very important, as you'll see, that I titled Keepers of the Flame. But step number 12 is, of course, the very way we began. And it's praise with a little different slant in how we're describing it. I have believed that praise ought to be the door into which we go to prayer and in which we leave our time of prayer. So thus, we go in, we come in with praise, we go out with praise. And that's a good thing to do. This is the act of joyful celebration. The action focus is verbalized. So we're speaking it. Verbalized rejoicing. Verbalized rejoicing. So you can write in, if you're doing the worksheets, the act of joyful celebration, you write that in, and then the action focus is verbalized rejoicing. And the key word is jubilation. jubilation. Dee and I just were in Washington, D.C. a few days ago for our National Day of Prayer. Many of you know that annually, the first Thursday of May here in the United States is our annual day of prayer. I was in the White House in 1988 when President Reagan and a group of us, when he signed into law a bill calling for the first Thursday of May each year to be our annual day of prayer. And it has grown to where this past Thursday, did you know that there were between 40,000 and 50,000 prayer gatherings in America on the National Day of Prayer? And we were there in Washington. I helped lead in the congressional building called the Cannon Building. Whenever you see these major meetings and caucuses and in investigations and panels, the biggest of the congressional rooms is called the Cannon Room. And we were there, and I, being a part of the prayer committee since its founding in 1975, have been there year after year after year, and help lead a time. We pray for different branches of government. I happen to pray over the judiciary branch, and some here had told me they actually saw it because it's streamed live, and it was. I prayed for, of course, the judges and justice, and then there's others that pray for the executive branch and pray for I was praying mainly for the courts, like the Supreme Court, and but there always is a representative of one aspect of government that chairs first, and we were really blessed to have a wonderful judge named Reggie Walton. And if you saw it, he had a really unique sense of humor. And he told about how he grew up in his home, his family. He's African-American. And he said they grew up quite poor, but on top of a dance hall. And so there was a dance hall under it. Then his mother got saved, and she kicked out the dance people and invited a Pentecostal holiness church into it. He said, so I grew up hearing the sounds of worship and preaching. And he said, when he and his family was blessed by the fact of the education the kids got, and the parents were so strong on getting a good education, and he went to law school, became a lawyer, and then, you know, a trial attorney. And for the first several years, he never lost a case, because he said when it came to closing arguments, I'd preach. And when he began to describe the way he would preach, you'd have to hear it, because it was great. He was saying in his very first case, when he came to the closing arguments, he said he knew he was going to win the case. He said when he got to preaching and said, this man is guilty. You know it, he's guilty of sin. He said he knew he was going to win when one of the jurors went, whoo, hallelujah. it was great. So his sense of humor prompted me to, when I got up, to say, you know, the judge reminded me of a story. When we talk about justice, even children understand what's fair. See, justice is fairness. And I said, there are three little boys, about 6, 7, and 8 brothers, that were digging a hole in the backyard, and the neighbor lady looked over and said, hey, boys, what you doing? And they said, well, one of them said, we're burying our goldfish. And she said, well, that's an awfully big hole for a goldfish. And one of the other little kids said tersely, yeah, it was in your cat. So I said, at least they had justice. You know, it was a fair burial. But thinking of the rejoicing is what made me think of Judge Walton. Charles Spurgeon, one of the great, great men of God at the turn of the last century, pastored the Metropolitan Baptist Church in London, said, and I quote here, those who pray well will praise well. Prayer and praise are the two lips of the soul, two bells to ring out the sweet and acceptable music in the ears of God, two angels to climb Jacob's ladder, two altars smoking with incense. That's just great. Ah, I love these quotes. Two altars smoking with incense. We will conclude this teaching about keeping the fire going on the altar. Look at a biblical basis quickly. 1 Chronicles 16:31. Here from the Message Bible again. So let heaven rejoice, let earth be jubilant. This is great. And pass the word among the nations. God reigns. Did you know that today, if our average holds true today, I believe it does, to what happened last year every day for 12 months, because we now have all the reports in, something like 220,000 homes were visited every single day last year and given the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, we, you know, when I think of that phrase, pass the word among the nations, I think of those precious warriors who are out there sharing the good news home by home. Deuteronomy 26:11, again from the Message, I like the phrasing here again. Celebrate all the good things that God your God has given you and your family. You know, that's something we can do when we come to the end of a prayer time, is just have a little verbal celebration, and to get in the habit of doing that, kind of mixing praise and worship and thanksgiving all together. Psalm 68:3-4, from the New Living Translation, but let the godly rejoice, let them be glad in God's presence, let them be filled with joy, sing praises to God and to his name, sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds, his name is the Lord, rejoice in his presence. That's something to practice. Practice rejoicing. Isaiah 63:7 continues this theme. Isaiah 63:7, I will tell of the Lord's unfailing love. I will praise the Lord for all he has done. I will rejoice in his great goodness to Israel, which he has granted according to his mercy and love. Remember, we shared at the outset, I share it in the book, in chapter the chapter on praise, the first of the steps. I share it again. Originally, I was going to duplicate chapter step number 12, the exact chapter, exactly word for word. And then I thought, well, I'm going to use some other illustrations, and because I was just thinking, we need to really hone in on the significance of praise and what happens in it. And then I thought, well, when we praise God, we're verbally acknowledging him for who he is, and that definitely is praise. But at the end, why don't we just rejoice? Psalm 70, verse 4 in the Message Bible says, and I like the phrasing of this, let those on the hunt for you, let those on the hunt for you, Lord, sing and celebrate. One of the earlier steps is singing. And of course, as I've shared over the years in my life, it became a habit of, I actually went through the Psalms and divided up so many verses to map out 365 days, so each day I can sing some of the Psalms, because the Psalms were originally songs, and so we're just singing his word, and I make up my own melodies, and none of my songs will ever be hits, but the Lord likes them, I know that, because he told me. Let those on the hunt for you sing and celebrate, let all who love your saving way say over and over, God is mighty. Say that. Say it again. Say it again. God is mighty. God is mighty. God is mighty. And you know, when you begin to even shout or declare it, you know, something happens in you. Paul Bilheimer, my goodness, what a brother. And some of you may have heard my story and how I was so powerfully impacted by his book, Destined for the Throne, one of the greatest books ever written on prayer, that I called him one day. He was in Southern California, a couple hours drive from where Dee and I were, and I said, Brother Paul, he knew me. I had done a series of TV programs with him for TBN. And I said, Brother Paul, I'm going to ask you a question that I know I'd probably have to say no if someone asked me this, unless God really put it on my heart, but could I come and visit you in your home, and would you read to me your book from cover to cover, and then when you finish, it might even take a couple days, and I'll stay overnight. I was inviting myself. I want you to lay hands on me and pray as that something would happen from you to me like Elijah to Elisha. And he just started to weep, and I didn't know that he would be in heaven in a few months, but I went down and he did, and I tape recorded. I still have the recordings of his reading his entire book to me. Periodically he would pause and start to weep, and it was really something, sitting in two folding chairs in his bedroom with a cassette recorder in front of us and his book in his hands, and he would start to weep and look at me and say, Brother Dick, do you get it? Do you get it? Prayer is where the action is. I remember he said this. When you're teaching, he said, if you feel people aren't getting it and you have to get down on your knees and beg them to hear it, plead with them, that prayer is where the action is. Well, this is what Paul Bilheimer said in Destined for the Throne on praise. He said, and now I quote, we have had much teaching on prayer, but until recently have had little on praise. Yet there is much more emphasis in the Bible on praise than prayer. In the Bible, the entire universe, animate and inanimate, is envisioned as one grand chorus of praise to the Creator. Notice especially Psalms 148 to 150. Continues, Psalm 145:10 declares that all thy works shall praise thee. Praise is the highest occupation of angels. Heaven is one grand paean of praise. Cherubim and seraphim unceasingly adore him. Surely that which occupies the total time and energies of heaven must be a fitting pattern for earth. Amen. Amen. What a powerful statement. A summary definition of praise is a time to rejoice. That is an aspect of praise, a time to rejoice. You can write in the word rejoice. Charles Spurgeon, let me quote him again. He said, "Happy is he whose fingers are wedded to his harp. He who praises God for mercies shall never lack a mercy for which to praise." Isn't that great? He who praises God for mercies shall never lack a mercy for which to praise. Well, here's a prayer application. When we come to the end of our prayer time, even all alone, verbalize God's glory. Whatever that means, however you interpret it, I'll give you four suggestions in a moment, but verbalize God's glory. Write in the word glory. Dwight L. Moody again, that great evangelist of another generation, said so powerfully, "Solomon prevailed much with God in prayer at the dedication of the temple, but it was the voice of praise which brought down the glory and filled the house." That's why here at Every Home for Christ, we want praise rising, and our goal is day and night. Here's a life application. If the prayer application is verbalize God's glory, then a life application is summed up in these words: cultivate a joyful attitude. What an honorable goal. Be a happy person. And you'll infect others. You will. Just like the judge a few days ago. Infectious. And, you know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is what? It's our strength. And that's why I say cultivate a sense of humor, too. Cultivate a joyful attitude. So now we look at our circle, and you see that our circle is complete. It's had praise, waiting, confession, scripture praying, watching, intercession, petition, thanksgiving, singing, meditation, listening, and then we exit again through the same way we entered. And our entry was praise, acknowledging God for who he is, and we exit through praise, rejoicing in what he has done. It's a wonderful thing to do. Where to next? What do we do about this? Again, four ways to get started, as I've said at the end of each of these points, four ways to get started and keep going. And here are four suggestions, and we'll give them quickly, of step 12 in world-changing prayer. Number one, end your prayer time with specific praise concerning God's greatness. Focus your praise on his omnipotence, that's his power, his omniscience, that's his knowledge, and his omnipresence, that he's ever present, and you're just saturating yourself. Even if it seems similar day by day to what you've done, don't let that be a hindrance to you. Yes, keep looking in the Word for new ways and ways to praise and rejoice in the Lord. You know, one of our books is a celebration of praise. Yeah, I have a copy of that here, Celebration of Praise, which is titled, a subtitle, Stand Amazed at Who God Is. And that was totally written out of my own walk with the Lord of, you know, I got tired of just saying the phrase over and over, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's really a command when it says praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. It's a command to praise the Lord. Now, God knows what you mean if you just say that over and over, and there's nothing wrong with that. But to acknowledge God for who he is, oh God, you are wonderful and you are merciful and I want to praise you for your mercy, that's verbalizing it. So number two, with the psalmist, praise God because he has done it. Look back at your devotional hour and praise God for hearing each of your requests. Begin to praise him that something is set in motion. You only want him to respond according to his will. So you're not insisting, now God, you've got to do it this way, but Lord, you begin to praise him for who he is and what he's done. Number three, let your spirit rejoice for a few moments at the close of prayer. Even repeat the universal word for praise, hallelujah. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ah, you've just said it in 6,000 languages. Isn't that interesting that that's the one word that goes crosses all boundaries of language? Don't be afraid to shout it out. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah! That'll wake you up. Number four, as Martin Luther suggested, when your devotional hour concludes, make your amen strong. Confess with authority that you believe God has heard your every prayer. I like the way he said it. Don't have a weak amen. Amen. Because amen says, so be it, it is done. It is done. And whenever you say in Jesus' name, amen, you're saying his name twice. Because his name is amen. He is the so be it. He is the it is done. Well, this session is slightly shorter than some of them, but let's look at the, because I believe you get it, let's look at the thoughts we want to talk about with each other for a few moments, or ponder if you're watching this online or alone. Discuss or ponder what you think it means to rejoice in prayer. What do you think Paul the Apostle meant when he said, rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say, rejoice. Let me say it again. He's saying, why is such rejoicing a good way to conclude one's time of personal prayer? And then, to rejoice, this is our prayer point. To rejoice means to give joy and to feel joy or great delight. Take time in prayer to tell God specifically why you delight in him. And you'll do this verbally and others will agree with you. Specifically to tell him why you delight in him and why his presence fills you with great joy. Praise God simply because you enjoy him. Try to put that joy into words. It's not always easy, but you can try it. And so, smile if you love Jesus. That's a good thing to do anyway, all the time. You know, who said it? It was a British Bible teacher years ago, that joy is the flag that is flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there. Joy is the flag flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there. And you know what? Joy will show up on a person's face. Sooner or later. I was in a store years ago and handing the lady the credit card, and she just said to me, why are you so happy? I hadn't noticed. So I told her. Oh, we have reason to rejoice. So let's turn to one another. We're taking just a few minutes now and to talk about this, discuss it as per the assignment there under ponder points, and then I'll interrupt this in a few minutes and we'll pray together in accordance to what I've suggested there. So turn to your nice friends at the table and be happy. Remember that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy? Not a bad thing to do and be. Let's talk about it.